The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, and here we are again. It's Thursday, last step until we step off into another weekend. Jordan Maxwell is with us this first hour tonight. Jordan, of course, a man who has devoted over half a century of his life to serving all of us to try to help us understand what is behind the curtain. What is behind the curtain is really in front of the curtain. It's right in our faces. In point of fact, the men and women, if you can call them that, who are controlling the life and death, accent on the death of this planet, are no longer playing stealth games. They are just pushing it right down the sheep's throats. And the sheep continue to chew, swallow, and receive their, what do you call it, Jordan, when you get that thing, at the communion, that's right.
Well, communion or shrill.
Communion, the communion from hell. Anyway, they're very compliant, and it just gets to be crazier and crazier all the time. Did you, in your wildest dreams, and we've known each other, I don't know how long.
15 years?
15 years. Did you, honestly, let's go back 15 years. Did you imagine we would be in the current configuration we are now in 15 years?
No, I always thought that we as a country, we as Americans, would rise to the occasion and would, and would stand up and defeat enemy.
Yeah.
And and all of that would happen, no doubt about it. And that's why I wanted to help, with the ammunition. I wanted to help to uncover all of the machinations and all the dark stuff of symbols and emblems and words and terms and the secret societies and fraternal orders operating around the planet in relation to all of the political symbols and emblems that we have. And I just wanted to make it available to my fellow citizens and to give them something to think about, and to because ultimately I felt the country, once it's aware and alert to what's going on and how this thing is being played, and I had to do everything with virtually nothing. It's just me by myself. But I just pictured that one day it will catch on fire and people will rise up and see what's going on.
Well, we did it. We did it in the Vietnam War. We did.
Well, I know. You're right. But,
I mean, they killed a hell of a lot of Americans and a lot of other folks, too. But the American public, in its last gasp of true expression of independence and freedom and God-given rights, stood up and forced the government to back down. It took years, but they did it.
Yep, you're right. And then came then came 9/11, and what I watched and witnessed with my own eyes on 9/11, right after 9/11, I just dropped out of sight. I didn't do any more radio shows. I didn't do any lectures, nothing. I just dropped out and figured it was over as far as I'm concerned. It was just totally destructive to me.
It was so obscene, so contrived, so obviously transparent, if not translucent at least,
yep,
that you kind of said, my God, if this is going to go down the craw of America, America is dead. Now, we had the Internet, excuse me for interrupting, yep, but you're so right. We had the Internet. A lot of people raised hell with their keyboards. But that was about it.
Yep. And I was just amazed at how the general public, and there's just no doubt in my mind that the reason why the overwhelming majority of the people have accepted this stuff that's being crammed down their throat.
Bolshevism.
Yeah.
Marxist Bolshevism.
That's all it is. Pure and simple. Soviet Marxist Bolshevism, and the people have no idea because they don't understand what that means. They have no idea about how it works and what the words mean and what the symbols mean and where these ideas have come from in the ancient world and how they were reproduced in the Soviet Union,
mm-hmm,
in Russia to become the Soviet Union, and what that meant. And
you saw the story the other day that Jacob Schiff now has formally been named as the man who ordered the slaughter of Tsar Nicholas II and his family.
Oh, well, yeah.
Big surprise, but that's that SOB. Now, who did, folks, here's a little pop quiz for you. Who did Jacob Schiff's grandson marry? And the subtitle to this question is All in the Family.
Yes.
He married Al Gore's daughter.
Oh.
It's funny, isn't it? Jacob Schiff's grandson. Yeah, the man who ordered the murder of Tsar Nicholas, his family, just a wretched, brutal murder. His grandson marries Gore's daughter. So there you go. It stays in the family. Gore, of course, charged by no less than three and maybe more professional massage therapists with he came on to them, prostitution-wise, tried to get them to turn tricks. One of them, on the very day he was in Los Angeles to accept his phony Academy Award for that phony documentary on climate. What a pervert. See, these people are all sick. They're psychos. And yet they get away with it because the media doesn't report. The media does what it's told. But that Jacob Schiff story really bothered me because we knew that the Zionists were behind all of this, the Zionist financiers. They call themselves Jews, but they're not. They were behind the whole communist Bolshevism movement, and they're behind what's happened here. This is all stemming back to Theodore Herzl, whose plan really... and prior to that, going back to Benjamin Disraeli. This goes way back.
It even goes back before Benjamin. It goes back to Benjamin Disraeli.
I'm talking about quasi-modern times, yeah.
Another name you need to know in relation to this subject, which is very important, is a man named Moses Hess, H-E-S-S, Moses Hess.
Mm-hmm.
Moses Hess was the man who actually came up with the idea of what we call today communism. And he developed a concept that we today refer to as Soviet communism or as communism. It was Moses Hess who came up with that concept of collectivization of the human race, and also was the man who was the leading Zionist. And all of this is, is written history. And the book you really need to know about is called Fire in the Minds of Men by James Billington. James Billington is today the chief librarian of the Library of Congress. And the chief librarian of the Library of Congress has written a book himself, two books on the subject. One's called Icon and the Axe, about the Soviet Union, about the communist pre-communist Russia, called the Icon and the Axe. And then the second one, which is very important today, is called the Fire in the Minds of Men. And in it, he explains in detail how Zionism was set up, where it got its money, who was in charge of it, who came up with the concepts, the ideas, the communist connection behind the scenes that no one should know anything about. And this is not some radical. It's the chief librarian from the Library of Congress, named James Billington. And it's a very thick, incredibly interesting book. Every page is filled with all kinds of stuff you've never heard.
Wow.
And just an incredible story.
Indeed. Hold on, we'll take a break, come right back. Jordan Maxwell, just a library in and of himself. By the way, the National Security Agency collects enough information on all of us every 6 hours around the clock to fill the Library of Congress. That's how much data they're sucking in. You think you folks have privacy? Moses Hess, by the way, is a very evil-looking SOB if you look at his picture. Wow. Back in a minute. Okay, back with our friend and colleague Jordan Maxwell. Interesting, Moses Hess, just checking, I haven't heard of that name in years, but he was the man who really originated the concept of Zionism. So they hang the label of proto-Zionist on him. He died 1875. Of course, Herzl's work was really codified in the 1880s, early 1890s. Hess, let me just read a little bit of this. It's very interesting, Jordan. Hess originally advocated Jewish integration into the Universalist Socialist Movement. See, he was always a socialist, always. And was a friend and collaborator of Karl Marx and Friedrich Engels. Hess converted Engels to communism and introduced Karl Marx to social and economic issues. Hess played an important role in transforming Hegelian dialectical idealism, the theory of history, to the dialectical materialism of Marxism by conceiving of man as the initiator of history through his active consciousness. Hess was probably responsible for several Marxian slogans and ideas, including religion as the opiate of the people. So there you go. Just a quick idea. If you want to check into Mr. Hess, by all means, Moses Hess, the proto-Zionist. That's where it came from. It is always about, always has been about socialism. And his original big push was ultimately to create a socialist, Zionist, Jewish state in Palestine. So it really, in a modern sense, originated with Hess, our problem today of the racist Zionist state of Israel. Very interesting.
Yeah. And there's a lot to be known about Moses Hess and how this stuff developed, you know, behind the scenes. But most people, even Jewish people that I know, have no idea about Moses Hess.
None.
They don't have any idea in the world what's going on and how it's being played. And I have some dear friends who are Jewish, and they're telling me, well, there's nothing wrong with socialism. You know, it's better than the aristocracy owning everything. And But I'm just amazed at how many people that feel that there's nothing wrong with socialism that don't know that socialist movements are financed by the capitalists. I mean, all you've got to do is just go back into history and find out who was it that financed, who sent the money to Russia, for the revolution to start with, and then who financed the rise of Russia to become the Soviet Union. It cost money to build armies and to feed the military and to set up a military-industrial complex like the Soviet Union. Where did the money come from? But nobody ever thinks about that, because socialism is simply one way of controlling the masses. And you give them the idea that everybody's going to be equal. Well, in point of fact, that's true. Everyone is equal. You're all slaves.
Well said. You got to put that one down in writing. Jordan Maxwell said, another Maxwellism. Great.
Yeah.
Everyone is created equal. You're all slaves. I love it.
It was quite a long time ago. I think it was Roosevelt or somebody who said, that half the world is enslaved and the other half is free, and we can't live that way. And so, what do? They want to enslave the other half.
Of course.
And so when you see that that the Marxist-Leninist communist philosophy is very simple. It's called socialism, which simply means get everyone together and under one roof. And nobody has any rights, nobody has any protections, nobody has any right whatsoever to do anything. And the masses love it because they think, we give them words like democracy. They have no idea where the word democracy comes from, have no concept of what democracy is. And all you have to do is go back and look at history and you'll see all of the communist nations have always been referred to as democracies, like the People's Democratic Republic of Cuba. We have the People's Democratic Republic of China.
Mm-hmm.
The People's Democratic Republic of this country, of that country, is always the People's Democratic Republic. It's always democratic, meaning it's the rule of the mob. Where this country was, when this arrangement we call the United States of America actually had a written constitution. And so the word, the big discussion at the founding of America was, who is going to rule mankind? And it was called Lex Rex or Rex Lex. Rex meaning the king, and Lex meaning the law in Latin. And so the question was, is it going to be Rex Lex or Lex Rex? Is it going to be the king is the law,
mm-hmm.
or the law is the king?
Mm-hmm.
And so we opted at the very beginning to have the law be the king here in this country. And so we were supposedly ruled by law as a constitutional republic. And of course, we ended up being a democratic society now, which means we are a socialist, democratic country, which means we have no freedoms whatsoever. Whatever the mob in the street wants, that's what we do. And that's easy enough to do, because with Hollywood and the propaganda machine, they can get the mob to vote on anything.
Yep.
And once the mob has decided what they want, then all of us have to go along with it, because after all, that is a democratic thing to do. Look at a real democracy is 39 guys voting to hang one. And after all, they are, the 39 are in the majority, and the one guy is going to be hung. So that's a majority vote. We all voted to kill this guy, and that's it. It's democracy. It's the rule of the people.
Yeah.
And nobody seems to understand that a republic is based on law, and all individuals are protected under the law. But unfortunately, today in America, the American people are without a doubt some of the most ignorant, ill-informed, and unread people on the face of the earth.
Frighteningly so. Hold on a sec, Jordan. They are truly scary. Nothing scarier than a mindless mob. Nothing. All right, we'll be back in a minute. And talking with Jordan, another note or two about Moses Hess, the proto-Zionist and really, I guess, the father of communism in many ways. We think of Marx. Well, you got to think of Hess. Hess's book, Rome and Jerusalem, published in 1861. And in the book, he calls for the establishment of a Jewish socialist commonwealth in Palestine. All right?
Yep.
There you go. And you go on to Herzl, who was, of course, given and is given credit for modern Zionism. When Herzl first read Rome and Jerusalem, he wrote about Hess that, quote, now, since Spinoza, Jewry has had no bigger thinker than this forgotten Moses Hess. There you go.
Yep. It's quite a story. And, you know, when we see all of this violence going on in the Middle East from the Islamic world that's hell-bent on destroying everything on the earth that doesn't love Allah and doesn't crawl on their knees to Allah, you need to remember that this whole concept of Islam and the worship of Allah can be traced back to Judaism. Judaism is the root religion from which Islam comes from. And if you begin reading in the Old Testament, some of the scriptures that are attributed to God talking to his people, there is some really off-the-wall, strange stuff that God is saying to his people. And I don't have it written down right in front of me, but there's a lot of bloodshed, violence, incredible pornographic stuff that God is saying in the Old Testament, and it's pretty well known. I mean, there's no need to try and hide it. It's very well known. And one scripture I remember in the Old Testament, God says, "Go forth and kill everybody in the town, kill everybody in the country, man, woman, and child, their animals, kill them all, except for the young virgins. Give the young virgins to the troops." To entertain them, but everybody else killed them. I mean, what kind of a God says, go in and kill women, children, animals, kill them all, and keep the virgins, send them out to be entertainment for the troops? That's God in the Old Testament. And then when you understand that Allah is nothing more than an Arabic name for Yahweh, Allah, as a matter of fact, it's an actual fact that even Yahoo, the search engine, Yahoo, is actually Allah, a Yahweh. Look it up in a dictionary, and you will see. Yeah,
that's,
you will see that.
That's where it came from. How interesting!
Yeah, Yahweh, Yahweh, Yahweh.
Uh-huh.
Becomes Yahweh, a Yahweh, then it becomes Yahoo, a Yahoo.
Well, we all know Yahoo. That the internet is part of the primary control mechanism now, and every part of it, every component, is certainly tied into the game, and there you go. Wow, that's another fascinating revelation. Now, a lot of people out there would say, nah, it's just Yahoo's the expression. No, nothing happens accidentally, folks.
Well, all I'm saying is go to the dictionary and look up Yahoo. Y-A-H-O-O, it will tell you, that is one way to spell Yahweh. Yahoo is a rendition of Yahweh or Allah. And so Allah, Yahweh, and Yahoo are all the same word. And then when, you know, then we could get into, I'll tell you what, the one thing I'd like for everybody to do some research on, and we've talked about it many times, but I think it really bears talking about it a little bit more and suggesting that people go do their own research on the planet Saturn, as the name of the planet Saturn was El. It was a way, El was the word in the ancient Hebrew for God, and El was the planet Saturn. Look up and do as much research as you can on the black square, the cube, the black cube, the black square, the planet Saturn, the god Saturn, and its connections with Mardi Gras and with the Roman celebration of Saturnalia. Saturn was very, very important in the ancient world, and especially in the Middle East. The Phoenicians had a word for Saturn. They called him Shabbat, S-H-A-S-H-A-B-B-O-T-H, Shabbat. While we get our word today, Sabbath. Sabbath comes from Shabbat, which is a word in the ancient language for the planet Saturn, Shabbat. And so to worship Saturn on his special day, Saturday, Saturn's day, it was called Sabbath. So if you are keeping holy the Sabbath, just remember you are worshiping the old ancient pagan god of Saturn, Lord of the Rings, and a very ancient Phoenician Canaanite god who was a god in Rome it was a god of agriculture, but it can go back into the ancient world where it was a god of chaos, a god of violence, the god of law. It was the inhibitor. The one who holds you back, puts you in jail. So that Saturn represented underworld, mafia, courts, judges, military, anything that had to do with strong-arming the people was called Saturnian. And they celebrated Saturn in the ancient world and then even into the Greek and the Roman world. And today we still are celebrating something called the Sabbath. And do you know how many Christians are celebrating and talking about keeping holy the Sabbath, never, ever suspecting that the Sabbath is the worship of Saturn or Shabbat? So I'm just thinking, you know, unless and until the people wake up and find out that their entire religious community of both Judaism, Christianity, and Islam, all three are part of an ancient system of religion, and all three are leading the world into hell. And it's amazing how much we don't know. And I've been saying for a long time that there's an encoded message in the New Testament that I think is very, very important. But up till now, I haven't seen that encoded message anywhere in Christendom. Nowhere in Christendom is the encoded message of the New Testament, the symbolic story or the metaphor, is not known in Christianity anywhere. And I'm just amazed. It's just in your face. It's overwhelmingly obvious. And so that's one of the things I would like to do with you one day, when we can maybe do a long show, and I will do, I'll walk through all the stories in the New Testament about Jesus and show you where they actually came from. And once you see how these stories, and I've done this for audiences, and I know that 10 minutes into the discussion, I begin to realize that people have no idea in the world what I'm talking about.
You can see it on their faces.
Yeah, you can see it on their faces. They've never heard such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, it's the most simple, obvious, encoded message. I mean, we hear all the time about the Bible has codes, Bible codes.
Mm-hmm.
And well, I've been saying for many years that the Bible, the whole story of Jesus in the New Testament, is an encoded message. It's a hidden occult or a hidden message. And so it's an extraordinary story about how religions have been developed. As a matter of fact, it's interesting, too, that we have three major religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. Why three? Because three has always been important in theology as far back in history as we can go. You have Brahma, Vishnu, Shiva in India. Egypt, you have Osiris, Isis, Horus, Christianity is Father, Son, Holy Ghost, the triune God. And, of course, in Judaism, you've got to have the same thing in Judaism. So we have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There was no Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob. But it's a codes. And once you understand the codes that are in the Bible, you begin to see that Saturn is very important to the Hebrew people and to the Jewish god Saturn. And the wars that are going on today in the Middle East are all part and parcel of something going on behind the scenes, and religion is driving this whole insanity behind the scenes. And I'm just amazed how many people don't know.
They don't. A question. A lot of people are saying, what is he talking about? The three major religions are Christianity, Islam, and Judaism, when there are only 0.25% of the world's population identified as Jews. We've got Protestants, Methodists, we've got Hindus, we've got Buddhists, we've got major religious movements that certainly far surpass in numbers Judaism. I assume you're talking about the power and penetration of this teeny tiny microscopic minority of people and their supposed religion into the main bulk of humanity.
Well, that's exactly right. That's the point I'm making, is that Christianity comes out of, it's an outgrowth of Judaism, and so is Islam. Islam would not even be on the earth if it wasn't for Judaism. Judaism is the basis for the belief system of Allah. You get that from the Old Testament. So, and we know that Judaism is a very powerful presence in the world, far more than we suspect. And that Judaism can be traced, you know, we can trace Christianity back to Judaism. That's why if we have an Old Testament and the New Testament is Christianity, well, the old one is Judaism. So Judaism, being a very small, select, tiny group on the earth, dominate the world.
Another question. Were these other subsidiary religions, religious movements, intentionally concocted by the early Jewish thinkers to further control and enslave?
Well, look at the oldest trick in the book is to divide and conquer.
Sure. Yeah.
And I think that probably evolution has something to do with it. You know, religions, like anything else, evolve over a period of time. But I know from what I've been able to see over the past 50 years that religion and politics are one and the same thing, and that there's never been a religious movement in the world that wasn't political.
Go to a political rally and look. Go to a revivalist church meeting and look. Go to an inflamed fundamentalist Islam get together. Look at the Hajj, any of it. Every single political and religious organization on the planet has been concocted, contrived, co-opted by a very tiny minority in order to enslave and milk the masses.
Well, that's the name of the tune. It's the only, and the people love it, though. And that's the crazy part about this, is that the people love this kind of thing.
They want answers, right? They want answers. They don't care who gives them the answer. They don't, where they come from, they want answers. So if somebody presupposes to know and gives them the answers and they embrace it and they feel secure, they're happy.
Well, the same thing like in the church. And when you walk into a church, it looks very holy and very righteous, and it just looks very impressive and important. And you go into the big cathedrals in Europe.
Oh, yeah, knockouts.
And it's a very impressive thing. And people say they have...
They're humbling.
You know, they can feel the presence of God. Well, actually, what they're feeling is called ley lines and geomancy. The word is geomancy. Ley lines. They're electromagnetic force fields on the earth, and the old churches and cathedrals were built on those electromagnetic ley lines, so that when you walk into those old churches in Europe, you feel some kind of a strange feeling there. Well, it's not God. It's electricity. It's called ley lines, and it's a scientific fact that there are grid ley lines on the earth. But clever people have used all of this to promote religion, which actually promotes politics. Remember also, Jeff, that in the ancient world, the kings were always not only head of the government, but they were also the communicator with God for you, for the people.
That's
the
our
king.
That's
always
our spokesman.
The communicator
that's right.
To God.
Yep.
So he represented God on the earth. And so he wasn't just the head of the government. He's the communicator and the mediator between the nation and God. And so we still have people today, even in this country, who view the heads of state as godly. You know, they're the ones that are connecting us to God. In point of fact, the whole political religious system of the Western world is so corrupt and so evil now that if you were told, it would shame you to even know how bad it really is out there. The churches are equally as bad as the governments and the churches. Religion is now, it's a horrible mess that the world is in. And that's why I've been saying for years, I have the highest respect for spirituality and for the idea of God. But you had better go back and start doing some homework and finding out where these religious movements have come from. And you go back to the 8th, 9th, and 10th century A.D. Now, I go out on a limb and say, and it's just my feeling, but from my feeling is that Judaism is not a B.C. religion. It was never, there was no, in my opinion, there was no ancient Jerusalem, there was no ancient Israel. There was an ancient Jerusalem, but there was no ancient Israel. There was no ancient Jewish establishment. I believe that Judaism as we have it today, and I'm not condemning Judaism, I'm just stating a fact of history, that Judaism as a religion probably started sometime about the 8th, 9th, and 10th century A.D., and has been promoted and designed along the way until finally we come up today with Judaism. I don't think Judaism goes back to B.C. at all. I don't believe there was an ancient Jewish establishment at all. There was no King Solomon. There was no King David. There was no Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. There was none of these people existed, in fact. So, I don't mind going out on a limb and saying that, because I think if you start doing your homework and really researching where our religions have come from, you're going to discover that what you're looking at is a modern day, within the past 600-700 years, a development that we have bought into. And we think it's all so holy, but no, it was developed by secret societies, fraternal orders, the Knights Templars, the Roman secret societies of the artifacts, all of these different cults that were operating in the ancient Roman Empire and also coming into our modern day, like I said, maybe 6th, 7th, 8th, 9th century A.D. is when Judaism was being developed. So it's an incredible
I remember
story.
In the year, was it 7, shortly in the very early 700s, the Khazar Empire formally adopted this emerging Judaism as their state religion.
That's right.
When the Khazarian Empire was destroyed and they lost it, they all fled, most of them to Eastern Europe, taking with them this kind of half-cocked idea of what Judaism is all about. They had always been a fierce people who profited. They were sitting at the hub of an enormous trade route. And they profited on the work of others, which, according to many critics of Zionists and others, is much the same thing that goes on today. It is a parasitizing kind of thought process that puts these people in control of the work of so many others. And there's a lot of truth to that.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. People think of ancient Israel, and they're thinking about the ancient prophets of old. And all I'm saying is that none of that ever happened. None of it. There was no ancient Israel. There was no Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. There was no ancient prophets. The walls of Jericho did not fall down because even the archaeologist in Israel said, Jericho never had walls. So how can the walls fall down if Jericho never had any walls?
Pretty good storytelling, though, eh?
Oh, it's sensational. and out of that has come, out of that has come astrotheology, or what we call today Christianity. And I'm saying that I'm not condemning either one. I'm saying that there's a very interesting connections between the ancient mythologies of the world and how it came down through and gave us today Judaism, Christianity. But you need to understand that you're not getting the whole story of where these religions have come from. And especially is that true with Islam. The Islamic religion is a monstrosity that has been copied off of Judaism. A lot of the stuff in Judaism and Islam was taken from the ancient Old Testament. So, and of course, you know, and today, of course, all three are being used to to promote wars and promote violence around the world.
Mm-hmm.
I just think it would be a wonderful idea if people wanted to go to a library and sit down and read the history, the occult or hidden history of world religions.
You're challenging people to come face-to-face with reality, Jordan, with the facts. Now, most people don't want to do that.
No, nope, you're right.
You talk about organized religion. There's nothing much more heinous to me than this issue of female genital mutilation that these young girls...
Oh, it's incredible. Absolutely.
And it is practiced widely. Now Americans of the Islamic faith who believe in this horrible... horrible practice, are actually sending their little girls abroad because American states and counties and so forth have passed laws against it. It is beyond belief that this could go on in a so-called enlightened group of people, any group of people.
Right. Yep. I'm just amazed at how much, and again, what we were talking about at the beginning, I'm amazed at how much America has bought into the religio-political economic system and have no idea in the world where any of this has come from and will accept and go along to get along and accept everything and see where it's taking us.
Now than ever, Jordan. No one's questioning. They're all following along.
That's all right.
About the hive. It's all about the herd, the group. It's groupthink, and that's all being indoctrinated by these government factories called schools. And
That's right. It
is scary. And the first time you let your children watch commercial TV, I don't care how old they are, folks, 6 months, a year, they are at that point in time beginning to be programmed to hate you and to challenge you and ultimately to leave you.
And that's why today, all over the Western world, especially here in North America and Canada, we have drugs, crimes, drive-bys, killings, drug trafficking everywhere, prostitution. By their fruits you shall know them. That's the fruitage of our religious training. We are chaotic, bloodletting people who love war, violence, martial arts, wrestling, fighting.
Well, go back and look at the Crusades. And by the way, any sports team going up against any other sports team is miniaturized, sanitized warfare.
That's all it is. It's one team, it's one group against another. The Crips against the Bloods.
There you go. Democrats
against the Republicans. And in order to have all of this happening in sports, you have to have something called a fight promoter. You have to have someone who puts it all together, make sure what teams are going to fight who, you know, in boxing and wrestling. So you have fight promoters. Well, that's what we've got here in America. We've got fight promoters. We got, it's called the Pentagon. And they decide what country is going to fight who and who's going to kill what. And so it's nothing but a game.
We've slaughtered 6 million people, listeners, as you know, dear friends, in Afghanistan and Iraq alone since George Herbert Walker Bush was in the White House. We kill people there's a Holocaust right there. We kill people nonstop. It's a way of life. This species is absolutely doomed until and unless somebody gets in here and genetically tweaks it to where it doesn't think killing is such a nifty idea.
Yeah, you're right. It's too bad. But there's a lot of, you know, those three books I have on my website on the home page, they're all e-books. You can download them quickly. All three of them on my homepage, and they're very, very important and interesting books on religion.
They're monumentally important.
Societies.
They are monumentally important, and for any honest, inquisitive intellect, you must consider them.
Yep, and I've been, like I said, I've been trying to awaken my fellow man. I thought I was doing something clever when I first started, and then in 2001 when yeah. the 9/11 happened, yeah. I woke up and found out I've been talking to myself here. The whole country has bought into this incredible lunacy, and they have not. They just don't have the ability.
I remember we got to run here, running yeah. late, but I remember Jordan when that happened and talking with you and how discouraged you were, and it just, I mean, after at that point it was just about 40 years, and to have to come to that realization is not easy. And what we're faced with now is what Dr.
is much worse.
Whoa, yep. ho.
Much worse.
Joseph Chapelon has termed it terminal madness of the end times, and I think that's pretty accurate.
Well, I think you're probably right, and yeah. I'm just doing the best I can to help my fellow man to awaken.
So. Well, you've saved a lot of souls, as they say, my friend, so keep at it.
I appreciate it, and thank you.
Of course.
Thanks, so all Jordan. I would say is go to my website and check it out, and go to What's New, because I've got a lot of new stuff on it, and I got a lot of new stuff coming.
Wonderful. All right, my friend. We'll talk soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Good night. And we will be back after this.